This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin
Durant. You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go. Right.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, the specialist guest ever, Jay Smith. What's up, Jay?
Hey, nothing, man. You know, it's one of those things where I know I'm not somebody that's special or writes for a newspaper, but I have a lot to say, and I've been pretty frustrated since Saturday. So I'm coming here to rant.
Let's jump in it.
Hopefully people enjoy that. So
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so Saturday was like the most hyped game since, I mean, the most hyped regular season game ever, I think. Yeah. Maybe. And ESPN was in town and everybody's in town. And the reason was because Kevin Durant, formerly of the Oklahoma City Thunder, currently with the Golden State Warriors, was coming back to Oklahoma City for the first time since leaving in free agency. And so ESPN made it into the biggest deal ever and then subsequently has just ridiculed Oklahoma City incessantly for their making it a big deal and us responding in a big way. So, and it just was crazy. Like, it was crazy. Fans went insane. Like, I think any expectation that somebody maybe had about what that would look like was exceeded, or at least it was in my opinion. Like, I thought it would be crazy, but people showing up in outfits and I don't know, it was insane. And but I loved it. I thought that was kind of what was right. And I have a ton of things to say, so let's talk briefly about the game and I'm going to talk about all the other things. So the Thunder got really rolled out of the gym for that game.
Yeah. 130-114. It was not, yeah. I mean, it's not a competitive game. There's just not a lot to talk about within the game.
Yeah, it got down to 12 there in the fourth quarter and Rush shot a three to try to get it to 9. And then after that, it just kind of exploded. And of course, Kevin Durant hit the, you know, a huge three. And that was something. but it wasn't competitive. And the real glaring weakness for the Thunder, which has been a weakness really since Enes Kanter has been hurt, is the fact that that second unit just played awful.
It was really bad.
Thunder had momentum. We're playing really well there in the first quarter. And as soon as that second unit came in, it kind of fell apart. And any time that Russ isn't on the court or wasn't on the court, it was a disaster. And so, but I think the game itself, like, was not a surprise. The surprise for me has been all of the crap afterward. Mm-hmm. And even leading up to it, where, you know, the national media, and I know it's a generalization, but since, you know, a lot of people are making generalizations about the Thunder fans, I feel like it's probably fair to do so, have generalized really that Oklahoma City is ungrateful and Durant didn't deserve the response that he did. And I think that they are completely full of crap.
It's just a complete, like, mishandling and misunderstanding of the situation. I mean, the one that got me is this Chris Haynes article that it was just so bad. We have a question from, it's from at Small Law Addy. And he asks, will Chris Haynes receive lifetime KD access for that Russ hit piece? Or is this a case of unrequited love by Mr. Haynes? So basically, he writes this article that basically confirms that, like, Kevin made the right decision. You know, Russell Westbrook couldn't help himself with the way that he hogs the ball. And Kevin's been complaining about Russell Westbrook since the second year that he's played with Russ and just all this stuff that is just not true, first of all. I mean, the narrative that kills me the most is the narrative that Oklahoma City is just some kind of basketball wasteland, and it always has been. He, like, makes no mention that the Thunder were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors and probably should have won, if not for some incredible performances from Klay Thompson. he just makes no mention that there is actually a really good team here and that this team may be the favorite right now had Kevin Durant stayed because of the moves that they were going to make. They just act like, oh, they just completely like dismiss Oklahoma City as a franchise or as a place where good basketball can be played and was played. They failed to mention that they were one of the best defensive teams in the league for years, one of the best offensive teams in the league for years. They just act like this place was just like a prison for Durant. And it's just so wrong. And it's just ridiculous. And to think that like fans, the reason that fans are hurt and are mad and are booing is because we loved Kevin Durant so much. And it's because like we just wanted him, he even said it, and I've quoted this in my article twice, that he said that he wanted to be the Tim Duncan, the Dirk Nowitzki to this city. And we heard that, and we took that to heart. And that's a part of the reason why it hurts so much. And if he didn't say those things and didn't act the way that he did, I don't know that things would hurt this much. I don't think the city would be as upset if Russell Westbrook had left just because he never pledged the loyalty. But Kevin Durant did over and over and over again, and that's why we're so hurt. And I don't understand why that's so hard to understand. I want to thank Chicken Express for sponsoring today's podcast. Their current special is 2 4 tender meals, both with a side and a drink, for just $9.99. That's a great deal. Chicken Express has great chicken tenders. They also have wings. They've got fried fish. It's a very good restaurant. It's not just like a fast food place because they have like real sides. It's like a real southern place. They have great sweet tea. You should go check out Chicken Express. There's tons of locations around Oklahoma City. Also, if you're in Texas, there's locations there. And really all the surrounding states, there's a Chicken Express. So if you have an opportunity, you should stop at Chicken Express. Get that 2 4 tender meals today for $9.99. You won't regret it. Go to Chicken Express.
Yeah, and I think that the hard thing, and we said this leading up to it as well, is like we valued the 8 years that he gave to this city and the 9 years that he gave to this franchise. Like I think that the hard thing, and there may be psychopaths like there are in any fandom, any sport, sure, anywhere that maybe
Pink well, it's all,
yeah, or, yeah, exactly, or it's all crap because of what happened. Like, man, I speaking irrationally, like I felt very frustrated, hurt, sad by Kevin Durant leaving, but I also understand that this city has been transformed by him. But that doesn't mean that I can't be mad,
right?
Like I know that some people have avoided using the relationship. Ham avoids using the marriage kind of analogy, but I think the relationship thing is the most accurate way to define it because we were so emotionally invested in this team. Because and some of that is that Darin Anoka or whatever, sorry, from ESPN had a really good piece. Is like we don't know the NBA. We didn't know professional sports. And when they came here, it was like we enveloped our lives into them. Mm-hmm. And they felt, and in the way they portrayed themselves and the way the organization has been set up, they poured their life into us. They did. Everything they did was to pour into the community. Kevin Durant gives $1 million. And so what we to the Moore stuff after the tornado and had it matched by Nike and the Thunder and all of these things kind of perpetuate this idea that it was more than just a sports team. It was more than just a franchise. It was more than just the Thunder and the city in which they play in. It was just like this collective part of our community that they were ours. They were family. And so that emotional connection is very similar to a relationship. And so all of us got broken up with for the better looking man a year ago. And we've never had really the opportunity to talk to the person that broke up with us until Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had some people that responded with, I still love you no matter what you do. You have some people that responded with, screw you, I'm not going to acknowledge that you're even here. And you had some people that are psychopaths that responded with hate and stupid things said towards Wanda, stupid things said towards Kevin Durant. But there's a middle ground that emotionally the Oklahoma City Thunder fans should have had every right to respond that way without being ridiculed by all of these people that think they understand what happened, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's frustrating me, like booing, being frustrated, all of that is valid responses. And you look at when Brett Favre left Green Bay and went and played for Minnesota, an arch rival. He goes back to Green Bay and he got booed. LeBron James leaves from Miami, comes back to Cleveland. He gets booed. Like we're not the first fan base to do this. some of this stuff's stupid. People are idiots and we can't control everybody, right? We know that as a society. But the truth is every part of that response, and it even seemed like Kevin Durant understood. Like, yeah, I knew I'd get booed. I knew this was going to be. And he throws a little shade and said, I thought it would be louder, right? Mm-hmm. Which I kind of loved. So after that event, I have a question for you, and I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think that it's – so they come back in a few weeks after All-Star break on a Monday night. My expectation is going to be way less crazy than this first one. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that it's going to be – I think it'll be similar, but maybe just like knock down a few notches, you know, like they're not, it's not going to be nuts, but people are going to boo. And, you know, maybe, I mean, Cantor could be back. This team could look different. There could be a trade that may or may not make this team better to, you know, maybe make the game a little bit more competitive. But at this point, like we've seen it. You know, the crowd has done what they need to do. The city feels a little bit more closure, I think, in the situation, being able to kind of let it out. I think there will be just kind of more dread behind it because we know the Warriors are still the Warriors.
Yeah. You
know? But yeah, he'll still get booed, but it will not be an intense
atmosphere. Yeah, I don't think like people in outfits and ESPN spending a weekend here. Like it's the hard part is they escalated this whole narrative to this point to where it became this huge. I mean, it was huge in this city this weekend.
I was a little bit disappointed in the way that they handled. Actually, I was very disappointed in the way they handled some of the stuff. Like they didn't have the starting lineups announced on TV. Like that was a big time mistake. Like that's what a lot of people were tuning in for. And during that time, like you could like watch on Twitter and like people are, you know, live tweeting what was happening in the arena, but everybody at home was watching commercials. That was a huge, huge mishandling of that situation. That should have been on TV. I think people really would have liked that. And then they sent all these writers in, which is cool. But you have all these people that don't really have a firm grasp of the situation. Some of these guys are coming in, they're just kissing KD's butt and then putting out whatever his people want to put out, which I think is that Chris Haynes article. And then just people that aren't close to the situation. I think Royce did a great job. But people that aren't close to the situation don't understand the fan base, don't understand really what happened, but just take his decision as like a one-time thing.
It was just a business decision.
And then write about it without understanding any of the background or, you know, if the things that had happened before. I think it's just a massive mishandling of the situation. I think they really should have just put Royce in the forefront and just said, let this be your moment because you understand this team and this city better than anybody. But instead, they let all these national guys come in and, you know, basically make all this clickbait for everybody, you know, today and yesterday. And I just think it's really bad. I just think it's like bad sports writing. Lots of opinion pieces that are just wrong. So
yeah. So and I know it's going to be hard to find these maybe this immediate, but any revelations to you from maybe the way the players responded? Because this is the first one where they actually kind of emotionally outbursted, you know, at one another. You had Russ barking at Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant barking back. And it was maybe they did it a little bit in the last game in Golden State, but I think maybe in this one you got to at least hear it a little bit more. And then you had Andre Robertson, who it's Robertson in case anybody still, for some unknown reason, has no idea how to pronounce his name. It's still out
there. You should know now.
I was watching SportsCenter and it was like Andre Robertson. I'm like, but you had him, he got in Kevin Durant's face and they said a little bit more in the interviews post and pregame than they have before. Like any revelations that would give reasons for why Kevin Durant left or anything that you feel like you kind of experienced there that would kind of open your eyes to anything?
I mean, he left because he could take the competition out of the West and that he could be on the best team. And he probably likes the style of play better, and I don't blame him for that. But he's been pretending like he didn't join the Warriors because of championships. Because he just joined them because he liked those guys. And that may be a part of it, but to say that you didn't consider championships, I think that's just garbage. Like, it's just a terrible, terrible lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just obvious. Like he wanted a less pressure situation. He wanted to be able to win rings because that's a huge part of the conversation when you're talking about the greatest of all time. Like, how many rings do you have? And he's paved a way to do that and to solidify himself, you know, as a champion and in the easiest way possible because no one can compete with this team. I mean, it's just very, I mean, that's it, right? I don't know that there's really any other like revelations to be had that he chose the team, you know, that made it the easiest way to win a championship. That's why everybody calls him a cupcake. That's why they're chanting cupcake. That's why somebody dressed up as a cupcake. That's why there's cupcake t-shirts. It's because it's a soft move and, you know, that's fine. I mean, I don't know. I think he made the decision that he wanted and there's nothing that we can do about that, but you can also look at it and say like, you know, to take that route and to know what you're going to do to the league is pretty soft.
Yeah. And the hard thing coming out of this is everybody, you know, Chris Bassard just wrote a stupid hot take. You know, like what happened on Saturday is the affirmation of why Durant left. Like Russell played a great game, actually. He had 11 turnovers.
He was so good. Russell Westbrook, he had 47 points on 26 shots on Saturday night. To act like Russell Westbrook is like a problem is just stupid. He had 47, 8 assists, 11 rebounds. Yeah, he had 11 turnovers. But look who he's playing with. He's playing with the second youngest team in the NBA, guys who haven't been in this situation. And then the guys that aren't that young, like Robertson, then you have Anthony Morrow. Those guys just aren't very good. And in the middle of this game, Cameron Payne got benched for Samaje Christian, which is maybe like the weirdest benching in the entire league. You're like benching one awful point guard for another awful point guard. And just, I mean, the fact is that this team is not supposed to be the way that it is. And to look at the Thunder and say this is why he left is absolute garbage, because this team was supposed to have Kevin Durant, Al Horford, and Dion Waiters on it right now, as well as Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Andre Robertson, Domantas Sabonis. All those guys are supposed to be on this team right now. And would they be saying that Kevin Durant should leave if they had that team right now? No, absolutely not. Of course, if he goes and joins a 73-win team, they're going to be very good. Like, that's just a really stupid argument. And to say, like, oh, well, now he gets open shots. He would have had a ton of open shots with the squad if he would have stayed in OKC. That's just stupid to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a narrative that helps create more fuel to the conversation. And I think I get pretty frustrated with a lot of the dialogue on Twitter, but the hard thing is that these guys thrive and live off of clicks.
Yeah.
And saying outlandish things, it's the Skip Bayless effect. You say outlandish things, people click on it and want to fight you about it, but they still follow you, listen to you, and read your articles. And so it works for them.
Yeah. They still get paid. Let's do a quick Twitter question. This is from @CoThunderUp. What are your top five favorite moments from the KD homecoming experience? So my number one is when Russ was jawing at KD saying, I'm coming. That was awesome.
Which I felt like was more of a, I think that was less of, and maybe that's just how I'm reading it, but I read that less of a, like, he's coming in that immediate game, but like, hey, I'm not going away.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. Like, that's what Thunder fans should like jump on right now is Russ saying, I'm coming.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Number two, the Robertson head smush was just a weird moment. And if people kind of look off the fact that Russell Westbrook pushed Kevin Durant out of the way in that moment, pushed him away from Robertson. I haven't really heard people talk about that, but that was Russ that really broke that up and pushed KD away. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, and I sent out a tweet afterwards because I was following it in the air via Twitter. I said, pay Robertson all the money right now.
Yeah.
I don't really want them to do that because I don't think it's his team, as we've talked about, but man, somebody finally had some guts, you know?
Yeah, it was great. And I mean, if you look at the play over again, no one really touched Kevin. He just fell in a weird way. There shouldn't have been a foul call. And then I guess in the moment, Robertson was just telling the refs like, hey, I didn't touch him. That's not a foul. which I guess KD didn't like, and then they kind of jawed back and forth, and then they did the thing where they want to look like they're fighting, but they're not going to fight because they're using their foreheads.
Yeah, it's the NBA, the NBA avoidance, right? The
NBA tough guy, like, weird face smush thing. Like, how did that become a thing?
It's just how everybody fights today.
It's just so weird. Number three, the everything that involved cupcakes I thought was great. I thought that the cupcake t-shirts, the actual cupcake mascot, which I guess is a nine-year-old girl, which was awesome. The chanting of cupcake, even when the game was over, was great. I just thought that the crowd in general, and my number four is the, actually my last three are involved in the crowd. So three is cupcake, four is the crowd standing ovation after the game, which I thought was really cool. And then just the absolute cheering for Russ throughout the game. I thought the crowd was fantastic. I thought that they, for the most part, handled themselves very well. Like you said, there's those few outliers that just were being big idiots. But for the most part, the crowd was incredible. And they created one of the most memorable games in NBA history on Saturday
night. For regular season, for sure.
Yeah, for what they did. And I thought the crowd was just fantastic. So I think that everyone there deserves a lot of credit for cheering throughout a blowout game. I mean, it would be pretty easy for the crowd to just, you know, as the Thunder are just getting demolished, to, you know, lose heart and leave. But I think some people did leave, but the people that were there continued to chant and boo, and I just thought it was great. I thought the crowd was incredible.
Yeah, I think just to throw in a couple honorable mentions, and this is from the Warriors' perspective, so some people may be a little bit upset with me. I think them putting the cupcake shirts on and wearing them to the post game, if I wasn't such an Oklahoma City fan, I'd say brilliant, right? Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, you saw it and you're like, oh man, I respect that so much, because that's the right move. That's how you like diffuse all of this.
God, dang, I hate you.
They did it. It was really smart. It was a really good move by them, because they could have been pissed about it, but they decided to, I don't know, they had fun with it, and I really respect it, but also it infuriates me.
I know. And the Warriors are really good, man. I think that something, and I know we have more Twitter questions, but something that's important for Oklahoma City Thunder fans to recognize is that this is an epically great team. To evaluate your season based on the way you're playing against the Golden State Warriors, which for Oklahoma City fans you're doing because they're the team that took Durant or have Durant, it's a really unfair way to evaluate this team, and it's going to make the season really miserable for you. Because the truth is that the Oklahoma City Thunder have glaring roster problems. We've said that from day one. They may address some in the next 2 weeks of trade before the trade deadline. But the other truth is that they are outperforming all of our expectations. They're playing relatively well 2 days before. And I know there's tons of caveats on the Cavs win. Two days before, they beat the Cavs in a really good performance. They've beaten some teams. They've lost to some bad teams. But this team has a ton of potential going forward. The hard thing is when your evaluative point is the Warriors, you're going to lose. I mean, they're going to set a record this season for the largest margin of victory in the history of the NBA. They're going to beat teams by more points than any team has ever beaten other teams, right?
Yeah, they're the biggest outlier team in NBA history, no question. Yeah.
And I thought the Cavs would give them a chance. I fully expect them to beat Cavs in maybe five or six games. You know, I know we're going with
down. No, yeah. I mean, if they don't win the championship, any game that they lose is an upset, right?
Yep.
Any game.
Yeah, they should be. They are favored in every game they play.
Yeah,
and they should be. They're not good. It's the hard thing is that it's. It was always a weird conversation when people were surprised, like, look at how good these Warriors, and I think you said this on, I can't remember who it was with, but one of the podcasts you're on, it's like, they should be.
Yeah.
The surprise should be if they aren't as good, and they are that good every single game they play.
You have four of the top 15 players in the NBA now. Like, there's been teams that have been put together where, like, you have, like, maybe four of the top 15 players that, you know, maybe sometime in their career they've been there, but never like this, where they're all in their prime. This has never happened before.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, of course they're good. Duh.
And the hard thing for Go ahead. I think the hard thing for us is that there's just no insight, right? Like, unless one of them gets hurt or one of them leaves, it's just like, okay, so 5 years?
Like, Iguodala is questionable to come back. Like, what is he going to want to get paid? Like, I mean, they are going to come up. There are going to be some situations that they're going to have to handle, especially with their – but as far as their four core guys, it's just going to take one of those guys wanting to leave or declining for it to end. So
yeah. All right. We got any other Twitter questions we want to deal with?
Yeah. Stephen J. Rossi asks, we really need me, Andrew, to break down how many more assists Russ would have if he had basically league average shooters. And there's a stat for this. So it's called potential assists. And Russ is third in the league in potential assists at 19.3. And there's also assist adjusted, and he's at 12.4 assists for that. It would make a big difference if he had some more competent shooters around him. And, you know, the potential assists right now, Harden leads at 21.5. John Wall is just slightly ahead of Russ. But if Russell Westbrook had the type of shooters that James Harden had, he may have more potential assists because he would have more opportunities and he wouldn't feel like he has to shoot as much. But just the reality of the situation is that Russ doesn't. And he's still averaging a triple-double, and he's still putting up incredible numbers, and he's still – I mean, he's taken this team – the projected wins for the Thunder right now is 28 and 27. The Thunder right now are 31 and 24. I mean, that's incredible. And I think that, you know, the Thunder may be the sixth or seventh seed in the NBA, but Russell Westbrook, he should be the MVP. He just should. No one's ever done what he's doing, and he deserves to be the MVP. I know Oscar Iverson did it a long time ago, but the circumstances that allowed him to do it were really great for him, and the same circumstances are not they're not here for Russ. No one's done it in these same circumstances that Westbrook has, and I think he deserves to be the MVP. He's doing something that's so incredible, and with the team that he has around him, he's got some good players, lots of players with potential, but nobody that can really help him a lot this season. So
yeah, and I think that if you were to take Russ off the Thunder, you have a lottery team or a top – I mean like bottom 10 of the lottery. If you remove a Harden or you remove some of these guys off these other teams, they still have the chance. I think Harden in the Rockets, I think that's the only one that could be comparable in that. But I don't know. I think that you're right. I think it's – I don't know if he will, just because there's so many – you still feel it, right? Like that narrative against Russ because he's a stat seeker. He shoots so poorly that, you know, or he shoots too much. But, man, he has been on a tear, and he's playing – I mean, he's just playing really well, and he's going to average a triple-double, which is insanity that we've somehow just watered down to, oh, well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And the Rockets have slowed down some. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that – I mean, if they continue to slow down and they can't do what they're going to do. I don't know. And I can't remember who was talking about this, but the narrative on the Rockets could flip quickly. Let's say the Rockets play the Utah Jazz in the first round and the Jazz beat them. Then what's the narrative after that? It's, oh, well, this is D'Antoni ball again. It can't win.
Yep. Not make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it could flip quickly because, like, right. I mean, earlier in the season, it's like, well, maybe the Rockets can be the team that challenges the Warriors. And, no, that, I mean, first of all, that's just not that's not going to happen. But second of all, I just think, I don't know. It's the Warriors, then the Cavs below them, and then it's like everybody else is so far below both those teams. It's hard to compare. Next question from @easy_Dooley. He says, good morning, RJ Hunter, CJ Miles, Robert Covington, Brandon Rush, Ben McLemore. Should the Thunder try to get any of these guys? I think that, like, some of these guys make sense if you can get them for basically nothing. Like a Brandon Rush, you could probably get him for little to nothing. I think that makes some sense to bring in just a guy that can shoot the ball off your bench that's a little bit bigger than, like, an Anthony Morrow or an Alex Abrines. I like that. I don't know what it'll take to get Robert Covington. RJ Hunter is basically not an NBA player, so I don't think they'd look at him.
Yeah, there's been two teams that have said he's not, right? Didn't Boston move him and then Chicago get shot or something?
He's been cut twice already this season. Ben McLemore, I think the Thunder would probably like to get somebody like that. The Kings are so weird. Like, I feel like they could demand anything from like a first round pick for him to a second round pick, and I don't think anybody in the league really knows how to gauge what they're going to do. Robert Covington probably holds more value for the Sixers than most people think. Same for CJ Miles, but I think the Thunder aren't really looking for like a stopgap player like that. There's another question from somebody asking about Lou Williams. It is Thunder underscore fan 2000 asked about the Thunder's trading for Lou Williams. The Thunder don't really care that much about winning this year. Especially like they understand that like they don't really have like a great ceiling in the playoffs. The ceiling in the playoffs is probably the second round. At the very, very best, they understand where they're at, and they're not trying to like plug holes right now. They are trying to gather assets to prepare for something bigger, to prepare for like more sustainable winning. They're not just going to go trade for like a Lou Williams. They're not just going to trade for a CJ Miles, somebody like that that's going to help them like just for this year. The Thunder aren't really interested in being a team that's just going to go to the first or second round and out. They're looking beyond that. And there's a lot of moves that I think would make sense. Like Lou Williams makes a ton of sense for this team. This team doesn't have scoring off the bench. He basically would provide what we want Cameron Payne to do, and Cameron Payne's not able to do. And I like Lou Williams, but he's not a guy that makes sense going forward. So I just think we have to think of those guys a little bit like that. I think Wilson Chandler kind of fits into that mold a little bit of that doesn't make a ton of sense moving forward, but I also think he does. So I think it's tough to say that he's a guy that they wouldn't target because it's such a need, but they wouldn't target him for a run this season. They would target him because they think that he fits long term.
Yeah, he kind of fit the next two or three years, you know, and I think that that's your window. And so what you're looking for is who's on maybe the end of their rookie contract, moving into their, you know, maybe that second line, they're kind of lower, because you're getting in these conversations with guys that are going to demand a lot of money sooner rather than later. And that's an issue the Thunder are going to have to look at, because they've got a lot of money tied up in Vic and Steven Adams and Russ, and that's only going to go up for Russ in the next year or two. Is that going to be this offseason? And so it's hard when you just start thinking it's not a plug and play piece that's going to make this team all of a sudden a contender.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking at Paul George. And I still think a Paul George, and to give up what you'd have to give up to get a Paul George, I think you immediately become right back where you are, maybe a seed or two better. But you're still going to get beat by the Warriors. You're still probably going to get beat by the Spurs. Mm-hmm. But unless you can keep some core pieces and add a piece, which, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot of teams that are giving up their best players for Kyle Singler and campaign. You know, that's the hard thing is nobody wants to give up. Like, if you give up Steven Adams and Victor Oladipo to get Paul George, you're the seventh seed.
Yeah.
You're the seventh seed. If not, maybe the eighth seed. Not the eighth seed because that's trash. But
yeah, I mean, maybe you get up to five. I mean, maybe. Yeah. But then you're playing the Warriors in the second round and then you're done. You're toast.
I think the Thunder want to stay in the seventh seed. I wouldn't move out of this if I could.
Yeah, someone else asked that. One of the first questions we got was from at Triple Double VGC. What are your views on the remaining schedule and 3 through 7 seed schedules? How high can the Thunder get? Which spot is the best? 6 or 7 is best because the Thunder, you just want to avoid the Warriors at all costs, right? I mean, like, you don't want to play them for a lot of reasons.
4 games in a row against that sounds like literally my nightmare.
Yeah, no, it would be misery.
Oh,
and how many more times would you hear, and how many more things would be written about? Well, this just confirms it. Kevin Durant should have left Oklahoma City, maybe right, even a long time ago.
You think the articles are going to all of a sudden shift, right? Yeah, no.
No, it would be miserable. You do not want that. So I think that like if the Thunder get lucky, and are able to win a, you know, first round series, awesome. Let's go play the Spurs instead. Let's go play the Rockets instead. Like, whoever ends up with that second seed, you just can't. You just cannot. I don't know. And I just don't. I don't think that the Thunder organization would want that either.
Not a chance. No. You asked that question, I think it was in the Friday pod. Would you rather miss the playoffs or play the Warriors? I'd rather miss the
playoffs. Let's miss the playoffs. Let's go to the lottery, baby.
Give me that 1% chance.
So I'm glad this game is over. The Thunder play the Wizards tonight, which is a really, really tough game. The Zards are very, very good. And then they play the Knicks later this week, and then they have the All-Star break, which I think that we will all welcome. So, yeah, watch the game tonight. Try to let go of the KD stuff for a little bit. I know it's still fresh. Like, it still hurts, and it's okay that it hurts. Don't let the media or ESPN or whoever is telling you that you shouldn't be hurt by this or shouldn't be upset by this. Don't let them tell you that, because it's just not true. Like, this was, like Jay described the relationship thing, like, it's a big deal. Like, this is a very big deal, and to downplay it or to ignore it, it's incorrect, and it's a misevaluation of what Kevin Durant meant to this city. So yeah, feel angry, feel bad about it. That's how you should feel. But let's root on Russell Westbrook and the Thunder tonight versus the Wizards.
Yep.
Got anything else, Jay?
Man, I got nothing. I think that, you know, those wounds are gonna, every time we get to vent a little bit in any situation, it makes the wounds heal just a little bit more. And so I expect that the next time it'll be a little easier, and then next year, you know, after they win the championship, and next year we've moved on, we've added maybe a piece or two to the draft or however to make this team new and our own, I think we'll start getting over it. And you know, I think this team has a bright future, because they have one of the most competitive and one of the best players in the NBA still on the team. And that's what differentiates us from the Cavs that lost LeBron, the Magic that lost Howard. I mean, insert the Magic that lost Shaq or whatever it is. Yeah. We still have Russ. It's not an empty cupboard we were left with. And so a lot of hope to be had out there. Just don't evaluate it based on a Warriors game, because that's never going to end well for you.
No. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Find us on Twitter at DT Podcast. You can email us, dtpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us an iTunes review. 5 stars would be so great. Have a great day. Thunder up.